Welcome back to your twice weekly Black Pill dosage. I am your nurse, Sarah. This is your doctor, Chris. Halali.
I'm your psychoanalyst.
It is Black Pills all around. We are now 2 years into the Gaza genocide, and we will talk about that much more later. But kind of reflecting on that throughout this episode, as things just kind of have gone downhill since the Gaza genocide began. So speaking of going downhill, well, firstly, Chris, how are you? I'm sorry.
No worries. I'm doing well. I mean, the struggle continues. Things are happening. Maybe not for the best, but still. Things are moving, and let's see where they move to. And of course, we continue the struggle. La lucha continua.
La lucha continua.
Okay. How are you doing?
I am okay. I am kind of I feel very scatterbrained. Feels like lots is happening, but nothing's happening. I don't know how to explain it. You'll see. It's like a potpourri of just news bits.
It's like but nebula.
I wanted to ask your opinion on the Nepalese demands from the Gen Z. See, I've been seeing this trend in the United States a little bit. A few of my MAGA friends have said, you know, they've been kind of talking up this Gen Z like awakening in Nepal. And I'd look at the first demand. I wanted to show you this, Chris. The first one is an establishment of a constitutional monarchy. What? Gen Z contingent is asking for a constitutional monarchy.
To be honest, I haven't heard of trad Nepalese or trad Buddhists or trad Hindus, but I guess that must be something that's happening over there. But I clearly don't know about it, because clearly this is something that I could have never imagined, that people are demanding the restoration of the monarchy in Nepal. I can't imagine. I just have no idea where this comes from.
That was the one that stuck out to me the most. Obviously, nationalization of sourceless and undisclosed assets. I don't know how you expect the nationalization under a monarch, but
nationalization under a monarch. Are they crazy?
Also, another, in the theme of going downhill, our friends over at Rest Media put together this graphic and this report, which we will link in the comments, but. This is the picture of the financial flows of an AI thought police project that some of it has concluded, but some of it is still ongoing. So these are the firms in their respective countries and what they've received in order to participate in these sort of AI thought police programs. The European Union funded 7 million euros, AI surveillance project called Counter, built to predict radicalization before the crime is committed. So there's obviously the list of different firms that have been designated for this. Police departments from 6 EU nations, Latvia, France, Bulgaria, Romania, Germany, and Portugal served as co-developers and designed the system's architecture, selected flags for suspicious behaviors, and ran pilot tests on real people. So this is marketed as privacy first as usual, but it's actually predictive. It's thought policing, really. Our censorship segment grows as now, I guess, we get to incorporate the EU. I made this next segment for you, though. So this next segment is Epstein. You are a very big proponent of not forgetting about the Epstein files. Well,
no, we can never forget about them.
Right. Well, in good news, SCOTUS did reject Maxwell's appeal of her criminal conviction. And bad news, here's Trump.
Say it. The Supreme Court is back and said that they rejected today an appeal by Ghislaine Maxwell to overturn her conviction. That means her only chance of getting out of prison is a pardon from you. Is that something you're...
Who are we talking about?
Ghislaine Maxwell.
You know, I haven't heard the name in so long. I can say this, that I'd have to take a look at it. I would have to take a look. Did they reject that?
She wanted to appeal her conviction.
And what happened?
They said that they were not going to hear her appeal.
I say, well, I'll take a look at it. I will speak to the DOJ. I wouldn't consider it or not consider it. I don't know anything about it. I will speak to the DOJ.
Why would she be a candidate for clemency, sir?
I don't know. I mean, I'd have to speak to the DOJ. I'll look at it. I have a lot of people who have asked me for pardons. I call him Puff Daddy, has asked me for a pardon.
But she was convicted of child sex trafficking.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to have to take a look at it. I have to ask DOJ. I didn't know they rejected it. I didn't know she was even asking for it, frankly.
I love the reporter that reiterates the question as, but she was convicted of trafficking children. And he says, yeah, I'd have to look at it.
I have to look at it. I got to talk to the DOJ. Isn't this the same party that is having like hooligans going out and like catching people like, you know, left and right and talking all about pedophiles and child rapists? And we need to butcher everybody. We need to kill everybody who touches a child, which I don't necessarily disagree with. But if they conveniently forget, it's like the meme where they put on the glasses and they have a walking stick like Cash Patel and nobody knows what's going on. Like, what Ghislaine Maxwell? Ghislaine who?
I haven't heard her name in so long.
I haven't heard her name in so long. We were just talking about it 2 months ago.
I forgot about her.
We talk about her almost every week at this point in the press corps. I got to say this. It's like the grandparent that always is like, oh, I'm losing my hearing. Then you have a private conversation 3 rooms away. And next thing you know, they're on the phone telling other family members what they heard.
My Nana. That's my Nana.
That's it. That's it.
Speaking of old age and amnesia, here's Pam Bondi. Well, first of all, I have a bone to pick with MAGA. You guys were yes queening and like slay sister all up and down the timeline yesterday. You are just like your shit lib counterparts. They're like, Pam Bondi. And they didn't even get that I was like trolling them. Like, Pam Bondi just ended Durbin. And I was like, did he get fired? And they were like, no, he can't get fired. He's a senator. And I was like, oh, I thought she fired him. And they were like, no, she can't fire him. She's just the attorney general. I was like, oh, so she didn't end him then? And they're just like.
They've become the dialectical opposite of the K-hive. They're now the beehive, right? They actually are the beehive.
They're like, girl, you really told him. Like, what are you doing here? Like, oh yes, this. But here's, they're doing all of this. My timeline was loaded with how Pam Bondi got that ass. But here's what they weren't posting.
February, you made a public claim that the Epstein client list was, quote, sitting on my desk right now for review, end of quote. You then produce already public information and no client list at a major media event hosted at the White House. Attorney General Bondi, why did you publicly claim to have the Epstein client list waiting for your review and then produce nothing relevant to that claim?
Senator Durbin, if you listen to my entire clip on that, I said I had not reviewed it yet, that it was sitting on my desk along with the JFK files, the Martin Luther King files, and I said I had not yet reviewed it. And if you see our memo on Epstein, you will see, our memo on Epstein clearly points out that there was no client list, our July 6th memo.
Going back to the Epstein files, according to another whistleblower who made a protected disclosure to my office, you pushed the FBI to review approximately 100,000 Epstein-related records on an arbitrarily short deadline in March, and the FBI was directed to flag any documents that mentioned President Trump. Nothing came of that review until July when DOJ and FBI released an unsigned memo stating, quote, there's no incriminating client list. Why was the July 7th memo unsigned?
The July 7th memo came from the FBI and the Department of Justice. Director Patel answered those questions very clear. And, you know, Senator Durbin, I find it very interesting that you refused repeated Republican requests to release the Epstein flight logs in 2023 and 2024. You fought that. Did you take money from Reid Hoffman campaign donations, who was a huge Epstein friend? Why did you fight for years? Why did you fight to not disclose the flight log, Senator Durbin?
I can tell you I did not refuse. One of the senators here wished to produce those logs, and I asked her to put it in writing, and she never did.
Yeah, I think Senator Blackburn would quarrel with you on that.
Well, I will quarrel with you as to read somebody that you mentioned I never heard of.
Reid Hoffman.
So who gave the order to flag records related to President Trump?
To flag records for President Trump?
To flag any records which included his name.
I'm not going to discuss anything about that with you, Senator.
Eventually, you're going to have to answer for your conduct in this.
I mean, if that doesn't sum up the Uniparty, I don't know what else does. They're going at each other for who's more friends with Epstein and who has more connections and is covering up more. I mean, they're all, it's one big club, as we constantly say. That should be our motto for the show.
Exactly. The news came out, I think it was yesterday. They were like, this is a grave injustice. We've just uncovered that the FBI has been spying on Republican congresspeople. And then like civilian citizens were like angry about it. I'm like, why do we care that the government's spying on the government? I don't care. Like, they've been spying on us for 25 years. The hell are you talking about? You're upset? Like, these people are crazy.
We have comrades and friends who are holed up in other countries because they revealed the truth about what the United States government was doing in surveilling its own population. Do we remember somebody famous?
Edward?
Of course. Yes, Edward Snowden. He's in Moscow now. Edward Snowden released and already showed us through the documentation at Booz Allen Hamilton that what was going on, the government was actively surveilling and using all of the, like the FISA courts and things like that to conceal mass surveillance on the American population. I mean, this is already well known. So of course the government's also spying on members of the own government. This is what happens in that kind of situation. It's just insane that people are like, it's news to me.
These people are crazy. Like, okay, Anna Paulina Luna is another one. Okay, guys, we have got to make a conscientious decision to not elect strippers and or streamers and or criminals and or people who change their name and hide their ethnicity, which is very strange to hide that you're Jewish. I don't understand that.
I think they're supposed to be proud and out with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I don't really. Yeah, we should not be electing these people. I didn't upload the thing, but yesterday she posted about like demanding like arrests. And so one of her constituents commented, stop talking and do something. And she goes, likewise. And it's like, wait, I'm supposed to do something? These people, why are we electing these people in office? It's like so moronic.
It's so bad. So bad.
So bad. Anyway, Trump's getting MAGA whipped up into a fury because the things that worked in 2020 should work again.
Over a weekend. What?
Insurrection Act? Under what conditions or terms would you?
Well, I'd do it if it was necessary. So far, it hasn't been necessary, but we have an Insurrection Act for a reason. If I had to enact it, I'd do that. If people were being killed and courts were holding us up or governors or mayors were holding us up, sure, I'd do that. I mean, I want to make sure that people aren't killed. We have to make sure that our cities are safe.
So he had an Antifa round table today. Get that.
Here we go.
Amazing.
Here we go. Isn't it great? I love it. In January, when January 6th and the aftermath happened, we were all, I think we all rightfully said, okay, I mean, using the government once again to oppress one side is going to boomerang on us. And everybody was like, no, fuck them. We're going to go after them, send them all to prison, Insurrection Act this. Let's go to look at civil war laws and regulations and different doctrines that the courts had at that time. And let's bring them all back. And so I was like, okay, interesting. And we're going to talk about the Reconstruction period and everything like that. Now the boomerang, yeah, we're going to look at the Insurrection Act. And speaking about Antifa and things like that, this is exactly what we mean when we talk about curtailing one side of the speech. Of one group is going to boomerang onto the other side and curtailing one side for some of the actions. And that's not to condone the actions. It's simply to say that freedom doesn't go in one direction. It's got to be everyone or no one. And this is what's happening, is it's ending up being a boomerang and sort of a pendulum between each administration. One side doesn't get it, the other side doesn't get it. And that's very dangerous for the stability of the country.
Exactly. And you know, Everybody's very excited because it gets, you know, this kind of nationalistic fervor. Greg Abbott is so excited to send his elite Texas National Guard, ever ready, deploying now to SMO Portland. They arrived. So, I mean, like,
can we say, I got to put up here some of the best descriptions of this picture. Meal team six, the green buffet. Like, it was.
They're like gravy seals.
Gravy seals. I love it.
It's such a mess. Like, don't put them in the media. Like, you already knew this was going to be a high visibility event. Why are you putting these people in the, it just looks so bad. It makes it look so much more comical. And to add to this, the circus is absolutely in town. Here's the other Barbie. She's gone to Portland to participate in the SMO too.
Secretary, do you have a message to the protesters, especially the man in the chicken outfit?
Man in the chicken outfit? I just see him now. Goodness sakes. We could do better. Our goal is that people would peacefully protest, but that we would still be allowed to enforce the law in this country. So, too bad they're uneducated and ill-informed.
It's like, you couldn't make a better parody if you like were making a Hollywood movie.
No, I agree.
Secretary, do you have a message for the protest? There's like five people there. This is supposed to be war-torn, violence-ravaged Portland. There's like a dozen people there. So, Secretary, do you have any message for them? And the man in the chicken suit? Like, this is real life.
How far? You know what? I feel like this is like OnlyFans type porn for all of those like rah-rah, let's go get Antifa types. Like, they love, they're like, oh, there she is, our chick. She's there and she's doing it. She's laying down the law. I'm like, what law? It's a couple old people holding upside down American flag and a guy in a chicken suit. Like, are you shitting me?
Like old liberals, old Portland, yeah. Like liberals.
It's a bunch of fucking washed out hippies who are like, oh, la peace, love.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we're listening to Pete Seeger. I mean, not to say that, no, I love Pete Seeger, but still, that's the type. And she's over there like, command and control. We're going to handle this in like tight jeans, showing the curvatures and everything. Meanwhile, the guys at home are like, oh, yeah, this is it.
Well, she's one of those like gun Barbies, you know?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, she's one of those. Also, we're getting SMO Chicago as well, just so you guys know. I don't really know what's going on here. I know I don't like Pritzker. Don't really know much about the governor or the mayor of Chicago. I just think it's hilarious. The whole thing is just so funny. It's so funny. And, you know, and the messaging. So here, I wanted to point this out. That this is her trying to wrap some more, you know, this weird crusader theme into...
Time together, that you give us good fellowship, Lord, but that you'd also give us wisdom and discernment to make the best decisions, not just for the people that are here enforcing the law, but also for the citizens of this country. And Lord, I just ask that you continue to put a hedge of protection around these officers. Keep them safe, Lord, but that also that you would continue to bless each and every one of them and their families. And Lord, that you would protect the freedoms that we all enjoy that were given to us by you. We love you and praise you in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I showed that for a reason. That's a priest. So while she's praying with the officers in the conference room, a priest is protesting, which is what Christian priests do. I don't know, like, what people think. People were like, why is he there? I'm like, that's look at any protest around the world. Look at Armenia. The Armenian protest was led by a priest anyway, regardless. And it's Reverend David Black. There's been some rumors that maybe he's like not the greatest priest. He's not that orthodox, a little bit of support for the LGBT, but that's not here. That's neither here nor there. I don't want to hear it. There's a priest there.
Guy in the head.
They specifically shot the priest. There were another 10 people there. Not that they should be shooting anybody in the head.
It looks like in the head. I mean, this is a headshot.
They hit him and so this happened in recently. It happened like the other day. It was in Broadview, Illinois, which is right near Chicago. Other pastors have been targeted by ICE, apparently, these enforcers. You know, I didn't know this until I started looking into this guy today. So he's a Presbyterian reverend. He was there praying and he was shot with a pepper ball. United Methodist pastor Hannah Carden has been arrested. A Jewish cantor, Adam Gottlieb, and Rabbi Michael Ben Youssef have all reported being arrested and assaulted. And Reverend Black is now a plaintiff in a lawsuit against DHS and ICE in violation of his First Amendment and Religious Freedom Restoration Act. So I'm not really understanding the conflicting messaging.
Well, can we, I first want to go back to the original clip. Can we talk about, we don't talk about separation of church and state that much anymore. Mm-hmm. We don't talk about the fact that the United States was not founded as a Christian country. And in fact, the framers, the founding fathers, in their first major international treaty with the Barbary pirates and things and with Tripoli, basically said, the United States is not at war with Islam and we are not a Christian country. They wrote that in the document. You can go find it. It's in the records of the State Department and everything. It's a public document. I mean, that was one of the first major treaties and one of the first major engagements after the Revolutionary War. I mean, George Washington has an entire monument, national landmark to his Masonic heritage and the fact that he was a Freemason. The ritual to consecrate the construction of the U.S. Capitol building was a free Masonic ritual, not a Christian ritual.
Correct.
Just FYI. So everyone knows. That's just a historical fact. I'm not saying there's a conspiracy or this and that. That's just a historical fact. Freemasonry was a powerful organization at the time, and many people were members, and there you have it. So this BS that somehow is a Christian country and everybody's got to leave because now we are enjoying we're watching public individuals who are running for office burning Qurans. I mean,
oh my God. She blocked me because I told her we should deport her.
We should deport her.
Carolina Gomez.
Yeah.
Lady was like, to the UK and like pretended she was like a celebrity here.
With Tommy Robinson. The worst part is Laura Loomer today also wrote and said, we should ban all Muslims from public office. We should ban this. We should ban that. I'm like, oh, so we're just going to get rid of the First Amendment. At least the truth is coming out that
it's
this
just
side
is hilarious
doesn't want
that it's coming from one of the staunchest, most maniacal Zionist Jews. We should not let Muslims run for office. Okay. You want to keep going down the list here?
I know. At some point, I'm waiting to see. I'm waiting to see, you know. They have become what they condemn and what they say never to forget. It's convenient. Very convenient for them.
They all have. We've got MAGA making lists, getting people fired, cheering on the, like, people like the protesters getting assaulted, hiding their bullshit behind God. They've all become what they hate. It's just, it's really, I guess I enjoy the luxury of not being on either side. So,
I just want to say, like, you can look to an alternative, and President Putin, of course, he's an Orthodox Christian. But for example, when he went to Chechnya to see Ramzan Kadyrov and all of the Chechen leaders, they gave him a Quran. He kissed it.
Yeah.
He respects Buddhists and animists all of these and Tengrism and all of these different religious traditions in Russia. Because he says Russia is a multi-religious state. It's not only for the Orthodox. It's not only for the Muslims. It's not only for the Buddhists or the Jews or the Tengris. It's for everyone, mm-hmm. even for the atheist, agnostic. I think that's so important to recognize. But clearly, he's somehow the authoritarian, this, that, and the other. And somehow the American administration, which is openly, you know, has sections of it openly calling for the erasure or the blocking of certain groups of people and openly praying in government offices and things like that. Very strange.
These are evangelical zealots. I mean, on Sunday, right, today's Wednesday. Right. On Sunday, we talked about the geofencing. That was all at evangelical and Protestant churches.
Yep.
Don't stray away from your Orthodox religions, Catholicism and Orthodoxy. That's it. The reason why they keep saying, oh, this is a Judeo-Christian endeavor. It's a Judeo-evangelical endeavor. It's not a Judeo-Christian endeavor.
I'm not going to say what my Orthodox grandmother from Greece used to say about a certain group of people. But let me just say, there was nothing like Judeo-Christianity for her. And if you go to the Holy Week services in the Orthodox Church, it's pretty clear in the prayers and in what the priest says about this certain group of people. It's just a fact. I didn't do it. It's in the Bible. What can I say?
We did get exclusive footage. So I just want to give you guys a content warning. This is some footage from the violent riots in Portland that happened last night.
But Portland is unbelievable what's going on in Portland. Destruction of the city. Well, I'm going to look at it now because I didn't know that was still going on. This has been going on for years.
Weird, but war-torn? I'm not sure. I don't know. I do love that song, though. That's a banger.
By the way, speaking, you know about that song's Do you know about the singer of that song?
No.
Oh my God. This connects with the story. The singer of that song. Yes, the singer of that song was like a womanizer doing drugs, partying, and then ended up saying that he found Christ, announced to an entire stadium that he was converting and he was a reborn again Christian, and that the concert was kind of canceled. And everyone started booing him and things like that. This was like, I think, a year or 2 years ago. And then he sort of went on a... Yes, 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 yes. I'm telling you. Yes. Crazy. I'm telling you. We're living in interesting times. I'm telling you.
Oh, God.
Now, let me get this straight. I'm just trying to understand this. The money to build the educational institutions and the infrastructure in America, that gets shipped to Israel. The Marines and the National Guard get sent into the cities where that money could have been used to better the lives of the people. That seems to make no sense. We don't have the money for this, and we're in $30-something trillion worth of debt. So why we're continuing to throw money at this has to be explained to you by an influencer, an army of influencers. Because anyone would just make the argument that this is insane. Like a 9-year-old would be able to forget Jews, Muslims, the Middle East, Christian, who cares? Just the facts on the ground of this country. Our military general, Pete Hegseth, the tough guy from Fox News, is going, we want our generals to be thin and not have beards. How about we run our own country, Pete? That might be good, too.
I mean, I love Tim Dillon. And I mean, and the commodification of everything, it's all just a tremendous, tremendous waste of money. More money laundering, more grift, more. It's a campaign for the Republicans for the midterms. I keep saying this, like I said it even today, there's like a condensation of everything that got the American public in an uproar from after 9/11 until now. We're getting like snippets of Occupy, snippets of Charlottesville, snippets of Proud Boys, snippets of George Floyd riots. It's all the things that got us triggered over the last two decades. And who was kind of perpetrating those things? I don't know. Matt Gaetz has an idea.
I remember my first AIPAC reception, and like your fundraiser tells you you have to go, and your chief of staff tells you have to go, your committee chairman all tell you you have to go. And you get there and you wear this name badge, and I remember there's a QR code on it. And what we were supposed to do was go talk to donors, and then if they liked you, they scanned your QR code to make a donation, like on the spot. And so this, can you just imagine how demoralizing that is to like be told that your job for the next several hours to go chat people up, hoping they would scan you like a can of tomato soup on the way out of the meeting.
I mean, it's literally purchasing.
Right. And so I saw that and I was like, wow, that is so freaking weird.
Everything's for sale here.
Absolutely.
They're running around like orphaned puppies at an ASPCA function. Take me in. Take me into your APAC harem.
They really, the thing is that they have these meetings, and even for other, they have these meetings, and it's really just an opportunity for it to be a one-on-one with individuals, high-powered individuals, VIPs, who basically will say, what are you going to do for us? And you go there, you say, I support and defend the people of here, and I support and defend you, and I'm gonna vote this way on every bill that comes related to you. And they're like, good, thank you very much. Boom, here's donation. That's it.
I just find it so, and I don't think that people really take into consideration the kind of well, you're the psychoanalyst here, but that the kind of psychological effects this has on people, or what kind of messaging that sends to somebody. Walk around this meeting with a QR code on you. And schmooze and booze until people give you money.
Yes. Instead of offering, blowjobs and handjobs, you're offering, Tomahawk missiles and 2,000 bombs.
Yeah, exactly that. You're literally a prostitute. And what message does that send to like a junior congressperson like Matt Gaetz at his first APAC function? None of this is serious. All of this is for sale. Everything that you look at is for sale.
Everything's for sale. Everything has a price. That's one thing I learned. Very clearly throughout my time getting involved into politics and things, everything has a price.
It's kind of scary. I mean, we talk about dystopia and like how like, oh, you're going to have a barcode. Our congresspeople already do. They have to. They have to walk around and beg for money with a barcode on them.
You know it. By the way, the barcode thing is interesting because, you know, there used to be a really big underlying conspiracy theory that the barcode was like, the mark of the beast, right? The sign of Satan and, Antichrist, things like that. So if my grandmother, my little Orthodox grandmother from the village were here, she'd say all of them are part of the Antichrist. And you know what? She wouldn't be that far off.
The mark of the beast. Speaking of the mark of the beast, we have stayed away from the Charlie Kirk thing. I don't really want to jump into the fray and be kind of mixed up with everybody. And two, I don't know about you, Chris. I am a much more of a sit back and wait for more information person. I do not like jumping the gun like at all. So I kind of stayed in the background and just sort of watched this play out. And you've had a couple of opinions on it, haven't you? I mean, ACP has kind of been embroiled in it quite a bit.
For sure. I mean, if you think about who stands to gain, and we're always thinking about, who is going to benefit from this, I think that it only points in really one major direction, maybe with a few offshoots, but it generally leans toward one general tendency. And I can't really imagine the alternative at this point, because the alternative, to me, it's way too complex. Like, if you think of Occam's razor, the complexity and everything that has to go into this, it just seems much easier and much cleaner to say, of course, this group did it. It benefits them now tremendously. And you've seen, I mean, if you think about it if this is why I would say this, if Barry Weiss wasn't going to CBS, if Van Jones wasn't spewing his bullshit on Bill Maher, if all these people weren't going on the Charlie Kirk show and Erica wasn't sending a million emails for asking for money, and now you have this influencer.
That's where I'm at.
Right. If all of this stuff didn't happen.
And I would have let it lie. All right.
Okay. Maybe yeah. This fan of trannies and things like that went and shot him. Although I still don't believe that this person was capable of pulling off this kind of operation in less than a week. I don't. Because he wasn't military trained. If he had been military trained, I could understand it a little bit more. But he had no formal military training, no formal sniper training. Okay. That aside, I think that everything that's happened since then.
Yes.
It really makes me feel that there's been a concerted, organized, and structured effort to push the narrative in one direction, to dismiss the others, and then to capitalize on this, right? Never let a good crisis go to waste.
Right.
Another slogan of our show. And start taking over everything. TikTok.
Correct.
Taking over CBS. Taking Correct. Over buying the free press. Buying this, buying that. Having their people go out there talking to influencers. $7,000 a post right. that we now know. I just think that there's something at work. Something at work.
I've been looking through the, and I'm a facts person. Well, I shouldn't say that entirely because I'm also very intuitive. And as the first live statement from Erica Kirk, I was like, I have a yucky feeling.
Yeah.
And ever since that, I just, everything that I watched from her has given me a worse and a worse feeling. And I've dealt with inauthentic sort of bless your heart type of evangelicals and those sort of people in that sort of corner of the United States. And it's just, no, there's something else was off-putting about it. And I'm very much, and I've been looking through the FARA filings because people are saying, oh, you know, they offered him money. They've offered a lot of people money since March. There's been a concerted campaign to give people millions of dollars for these sort of propaganda campaigns, private, entities and whatnot. So the thought that they offered him money is not out of the question. And maybe he did decline it because he didn't want to be controlled. But, and you know, I was like, somebody better come out with some hard evidence. And I was giving Candace and her people a lot of shit. I just said, you know, I'm fine with whatever she wants to say. I just think that she needs to produce some receipts and I'll be back on. And that's exactly what she did. So let's see.
Take a look. So Charlie writes in this group chat, just lost another huge Jewish donor, $2 million a year because we won't cancel Tucker. I'm thinking of inviting Candace. Somebody writes, oh. Charlie writes, Jewish donors play into all of the stereotypes. I cannot and will not be bullied like this, leaving me no choice but to leave the pro-Israel cause. And somebody writes, a donor writes, please do not invite Candace. That might feel good short term, but it's not good long term. In my opinion, like all groups, you're going to get a wide variety of opinions. That nasty free will thing that God bestowed on us makes life frustrating at times after the dust settles a bit, maybe. So again, this is 48 hours before Charlie Kirk was assassinated. He was very clear and he was very explicit and he did not back down, not in that Hamptons meeting, which they're all lying about, nor in this text thread. I'm not going to reveal the names of the other seven. Actually, you know what? I disagree with myself 4 seconds ago. Let's just throw in Josh Hammer for funsies. He's on this chat. Okay.
The receipts and the name drop. I figured they would say she made the whole thing up, but.
Started this show to address some of the things that have been going around on public, namely about a group text chain that has been made known and released by Candace Owens. And I just want to address it head on because, you know, that was a text grab, a screen grab that I had shared with people. So it is authentic. And I want to go into it because I actually am really excited that the truth is out there.
Okay. So. I wouldn't put myself in the same category as Charlie Kirk. Nobody's ever approached me with money to pay me to say anything. It would take a lot for me to say I'm abandoning the pro multipolarity cause. It would take mountains. And if that was my conviction, I'm saying that multipolarity because that's probably my secondary or tertiary most near and dear to me issue. And I think for Charlie Kirk, Israel was probably quite close, near and dear to his heart at one point or another. So for him to sit there and those words, those are interesting words. I have no choice but to leave the pro-Israel movement. That's pretty interesting.
That's huge. Oh. That is huge. And it verifies what others had been saying, which was that he was losing major Jewish donors. It was eating into TPUSA's budget slowly. It was becoming a source of contention. And of course, now with this text message, I mean, in any situation, you have to look for the cause and you have to look for proximate causes that might have led to this. This looks like somebody stands to benefit, people stand to gain, and somebody's got to lose in this situation. And the person who has to lose is the person who's being obstinate right now, which is Charlie Kirk.
Right. And we always, and people are like, oh, what did they have to gain? How did they benefit? Look around you. What the hell are you talking about? They have data collection campaigns at every TPUSA event. They're gathering all of these voters. They're raking in millions of dollars. What are you talking about? How did they benefit? Israel's propaganda campaign is more widespread and stronger than ever, whether it's hokey or you don't buy into it or that, regardless, it's still fully funded completely across the board. And they're back in bed with TPUSA again. What do you mean who benefited? I will say this. Tyler did not kill Charlie Kirk. There is no effing way. Do I think Israel did it? I don't know. Do I think the United States did it? I think it's more possible. These people, this is also the guy that's speaking now. First of all, nobody's saying it's so weird that you're doing the Charlie Kirk show and none of you are Charlie Kirk and nobody knows who the fuck any of you are. Like, this is weird in and of itself. Second of all, that's the guy that took the SD card out of the camera behind Charlie Kirk after he got shot and never turned any of the information over. So why am I listening to this man anyway? And then why is Candace the one that's now pushing out more information and these people are authenticating it while they're on Charlie's show? Like, they're literally like broadcasting live from his friggin' grave, verifying tweets that are actually corroborating what Candace is doing and investigating, and you're just on his show talking about memes and shit. Like, what? It's we live in a bizarre world where people think that this is normal behavior and people are making excuses for it.
It's so crazy. To me, it seems surreal. Like, I mean, my psychoanalytic self, I mean, it seems like a schizophrenic type situation here. You know, we really have some real psychosis, but that's the world that we're living in right now. And we're living in, you know, people are always joking about 2D, 3D, 4D, 5D chess. I mean, the Ds are now exponential at this point. Who stands to gain? Who stands to benefit? What's going on behind the scene? Who knows who? Who's taking each other out? I don't know. But I do know this. It wouldn't be the first time that this alliance and intelligence network did something like this. We know their track record.
And I find it interesting that she drops Josh Hammer's name. Let me show you guys this really fast. This is from Sam Parker. I don't know if he was the one who discovered it or what, but it's on full screen. Can you guys see that? So this is the day before Charlie Kirk's assassination. This is Josh Hammer. He's in that text message group chat. That's a WhatsApp group chat, by the way. People thought it was Telegram. It's not. On September 9th, 2025, he finds a tweet from Donald Trump from 2013 about public execution and puts based 2 or 3 hours after Charlie Kirk is pronounced dead. He writes public execution. What the hell is up with these people? This isn't normal behavior regardless.
I don't know. Are we living in like a Dan Brown novel? Are these all like, you know, is this like a fucking, are they giving signs and signals to somebody else? Is this, you know, when we go one, we go all, like some QAnon types? I have no idea what's going on. What I can say is there's way too much influence by Israel over US politics and US government authority and control. And our spending and our military, there's way too much corruption at the top in the US. And overall, the entire Western system is absolutely decadent, degenerate, and needs to be wiped away. That's it. That's what I can say. And I can say that with a clean heart and a clean slate. That's just the fact. This block is the contemporary axis for us. Yeah. This is the Axis powers.
True. Don't worry. Anna Paulina Luna is running around letting everybody know that China is actually the one that killed Charlie Kirk and that she's going to get to the bottom of it. And it's good that she's running cover for Israel because we got this coming down the pipeline.
China is developing now ballistic missiles that are intercontinental ballistic missiles for 8,000 kilometer
range. What does that mean? They add another 3,000 kilometers and they've got under their gun, under their atomic guns, the New York City in target, Washington, Boston, Miami, Mar-a-Lago. Okay, so that is a very great danger. You don't want to be under the nuclear gun of these people who are not necessarily rational and who chant death to America.
Weapons of mass destruction. Why do you look like Smeagol, my precious?
We're back again.
We are so back, baby. We are so back. Get Scott Ritter. Get Scott Ritter on the line. Get him to go inspect Iran's nuclear holdings. We are so back, baby. We are in a time machine. It is 2003. Let's get it.
You know, it's crazy to me. This guy, I mean, if we want to talk about psychoanalysis, I mean, this is a fetish for him at this point. Iran is like his like secret desire, like everything in his mind. I think he wakes and goes to bed thinking about Iran. Iran. Iran's like a mistress to him. Iran's, I don't know, his Oedipus, who the hell knows what it is, but he is obsessed with Iran. He wants to see Iran destroyed. Even when Iran, which we didn't talk about, but Iran is relaxing regulations and restrictions. Iran is going through a period of transformation within after this 12-day war that was imposed on it by the Zionists and by the Americans. So Iran is changing. So when people now are like, oh my God, oppressed women. I mean, my cousins send me videos now in Tehran and everybody's without a headscarf now. No hijab, no chador, no nothing.
They released videos of a rave in Tehran the other day, and the Muslims were mad because they're saying Iran is too modern.
Listen. Let me tell you one thing. They shouldn't be throwing stones, because if I take you to Dubai or Abu Dhabi or Jeddah, I mean, please, let's not talk about what's too modern.
Zoroastrians. Let the Zoroastrians have their fun. What are you talking about? Dancing and singing has been part of Persian culture since Persians existed.
I dance and sing at every family event.
You dance and sing at every time the elevator stops and the power goes out.
That's it. It's like the whole time. Everybody's just dancing and, you know, bandari, and everybody's going crazy. Not to mention the Kurdish dancing and Lord dancing. I mean, this is just who we are. But they're like, oh, what's going on over there? We need to give them democracy.
Poor Iran.
I know.
Well, so Gaza talks are still ongoing. I believe that there's a hang up with the disarmament of Hamas, but they're negotiating the hostage releases and they're trying to finalize an agreement by Friday of this week, I believe. So 2 days. Rubio is reportedly skipping a Paris meeting organized by France to discuss Gaza's post-war future because Israel reportedly pressured the Trump administration not to attend, arguing that the Paris meeting could undermine the Egypt-based negotiations and divert attention from the Trump-backed plan. That's okay. And we just listened. Why didn't you go anyway, Marco Rubio? Oh, we know why.
We know why.
Bibi, on the other hand, has cleared his entire schedule through the weekend, which is quite unusual. And then Trump again at the Antifa roundtable that we weren't invited to.
He's just dealing with people from the Middle East, our people and other people, on the potential peace deal for the Middle East. Peace for the Middle East. That's a beautiful phrase, and we hope it's going to come true, but it's very close. And they're doing very well. We have a great team over there, great negotiators, and they're unfortunately great negotiators on the other side also. But it's something I think that will happen, got a good chance of happening. I may go there sometime toward the end of.
Trump's going to go to the Middle East. This is not good. I don't know that this is a good sign. Or is it?
He's on the move. I don't know. It remains to be seen. Listen, at this point, Iran, what Iran is to Netanyahu, the Nobel Peace Prize is to Trump.
It's white whale. It's his Moby Dick.
This is Moby Dick, like on the cruiser, like, let's get it.
It would actually be really smart for him to go to the Middle East and make this appearance for his little Nobel Peace Prize bid. Can you believe that Alex Navalny's wife is who's beating him? Like, clown world. It's Trump and Alex Navalny's widow.
Oh my God. What kind of world are we living in?
I just don't. For the Nobel Peace Prize, you could give it to the children of Gaza collectively. That's what you should do. Or you should give it to Ansarallah.
You should give it to Yemen. Yes.
But no, we're going to talk about Navalny's widow. And she was cheating on him the last couple of years anyway.
I was about to say, well, wasn't he in prison and she was, you know, she was frolicking around with other guys and yoga teachers and shit like that.
And Trump. At this point, I said, give it to Trump. Please, give it to Trump. Maybe all of this can end. All of this nonsense, this fakery can end. And I really don't feel like hearing about Alex Navalny's widow.
Oh, God. Oh, and you know that that's only going to be to upset Russia and to cause tensions again. And here we are. Here we go again. You know, that's the only purpose. Let me ask you a question. What has she done to deserve the Nobel?
That's the thing. I'm like, not only has she not done anything for peace, she hasn't done anything at all. Like, what has she done in the last year? I don't even remember a news story about her.
I don't know. I mean, it's crazy to me. Crazy.
All right. Last piece of bad news. A report came out yesterday from Quincy Institute, who I really love the Quincy Institute. They're fantastic. The people there are great.
They do good work.
They do really good work. Aid to Israel from the last 2 years is now topping $31 billion. Where the hell is Doge? $17.9 billion last year, 2024, $3.8 billion this year. Biden's final month of office, his administration rushed through $8 billion in deals. Trump approved another $10 billion. Like, this is just, I don't want to hear anything. You know what? $30 billion in 2 years. What else is there to say?
$30 billion to a small apartheid state that is actively stealing land in violation of international law, and of course, for the past 2 years, committing a genocide.
Do not forget, people, they have free healthcare, free college. Some of the settlers live for free. I won't say all of them do, not all of them do. They enjoy the benefits that you do not. Their infrastructure is second to none. Their highways are gorgeous. So, this is disgusting. We're sending National Guard people into Portland. Our infrastructure in the United States is 70 years old.
And we saw the video, by the way, last episode about the new bridge in China.
That's a freaking restaurant on top of it. They made it into an attraction because people wanted a bungee jump off of it. And they're predicting that they're going to make back everything they spent within like a year or two because people won't stop going there for tourism.
That's right. That's right. So see, you know what? You got to hand it to them. They know how to run a country. And, you know, maybe there is something to be said about a centrally planned economy and state control over industries and, oh, I don't know, something about socialism, communism, whatever. But in any case, the main thing is this. The United States continues to have its treasure siphoned off to basically prop up a dying empire, just like the British was, and to help this little ethnostate carrying out its vision for its greater expansion and project. And I want to say, not only do they enjoy free healthcare, free this, free that, whatever, there are hundreds of thousands who enjoy not working because they are studying the Torah and the Talmud all day. That's what they do. They are professional. You know, that's their style. You know, that's and I think that I don't have a problem with that, but why should I pay for it? If you pay for it, no problem. I hope you study all day, every day for the whole life. But why should we fund that when our cities are collapsing, our infrastructure is collapsing, there's chaos, there's drugs, there's things like that? By the way, we're not going to talk about the drugs on this episode, but we know who the biggest drug dealer is. It's the DEA and the CIA. Mm-hmm. So let's just throw that out there. So you see this, you see what's happening here. You see, and nobody's... Did we ever have Elon Musk go out there with Doge and say, well, why is all this money going out there? No, it's like a sacred cow. You can't touch this. You can't. If you touch it, you're un-American.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not American. No, you can't touch it.
It's absolutely, it's bananas. I had something else to say, but I forgot. So I'll just let it go. It'll probably come back to me after the
we have to now, if we're thinking about the future, if this deal goes through, the United States will probably commit even more money, and even more will go to what's already been done. And I think that there's going to be a lot more of investment into Israeli expansion, ultimately. I know that he says annexation is a red line for him. I don't believe him at all.
No.
But I think that what's going to happen is, under the guise of military and infrastructure aid, and especially after the 12-day war, they're going to ask for even more money for protection, development, things like that.
Oh, 100%. Oh, now I remember what I wanted to say. This is more of the same wealth transfer that we've been seeing. There was a great deal of disaster capitalism with the Iraq War. If you guys haven't read Shock Doctrine by Naomi Klein, that's a really good place to start. Then COVID was another set of disaster capitalism and the largest transfer of wealth in human history. And now we're watching another transfer of wealth very quickly with this purchasing of AI and the AI space race. And we talked about HR 4779 last episode, but now Maze is in the audience. So Maze is on the hook to teach you guys about it. She'll have to come on the show at some point, because I don't read House resolutions. They confuse me, and I don't like reading jargon. But 4779 is very scary. It's more legal funding for more Israeli ops inside of our country. So it never ends. And I think that's all I have for today. You look tired.
Well, I just want to say, I mean, I think life is just tiring now and everything, all the cycle of news and everything. But I want to say that we need to keep on top of this. We need to not stop talking about it. We need to not let it get memory hold, because the problem with the United States that other countries don't necessarily have, especially in some of the older civilization states, is we have no real long-term historical memory and comprehension. And I keep saying this, but Gore Vidal was right when he said it's the United States of amnesia. And we really need to continue to talk about this in our spaces, on social media, in public forums, with our families. We need to talk about it, because we are in another moment like 2003. And you're absolutely right. And once again, the American people are being led to the slaughter. And now the problem is the control that is being asked of and being given to over people's data and information, and monitoring them and surveilling them, is something that in 2003 would have been a dystopian novel. But we're there. We really are there. And we need to keep our eyes on it. And we need to hold them accountable for this, because otherwise, we will have no real social spaces by which to speak in alternative ways. And those spaces are slowly going to get more constricted and more constricted. And not only that, they're going to get surveilled, demonetized, people are going to get deplatformed. Once again, you're going to have the flooding of their disinformation, which is the real disinformation. And it's going to, once again, impact people who are not privy to the history and to what's going on. We have a very important duty. And I think everybody is a part of that, really. Everybody's a part of that.
So nice. So super chats. Thank you, Hummus, as usual. Thank you for being a member. And thank you to our Serbian family. Kosovo is always and forever will be Serbia. We will see you guys on Sunday, hopefully.
Yes.
I hope you guys enjoy the rest of your week. And try not to fall into the Oracle black hole.
Stay safe, everyone. We'll see you soon. Talk to you soon.